are seeing all sorts of headlines in the news these days about the soul searching that's going on within the Republican Party following Mitt Romney's loss to President Obama last week. So we thought that we would talk about it this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 9 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, November 14th. What can the Republican Party do to stay relevant to voters in a country with changing demographics? What will the GOP do? We will welcome your thoughts and questions this hour as we talk with one of Romney's campaign advisors, Bay Buchanan, about all this party soul searching that is taking place. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This week, Wisconsin Congressman and the former Republican vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan gave his first interviews following last week's loss. He says that it was a shock.
We were surprised at the outcome. We knew this was going to be a close race. We thought we had a very good chance of winning it. I think the surprise was some of the turnout. Some of the turnout, in, especially in urban areas, which definitely gave President Obama the big margin to win this race.
So was it the turnout in urban areas that gave President Obama this win, or were there other factors? And what about the Republican commentators, campaign strategists, who are saying that the GOP really does need to reach out to more groups? We just heard political strategist Karl Rove say that the GOP should be reaching out more to Hispanics and single women. Bay Buchanan is our guest. She is a political strategist, a conservative pundit. She served as a senior advisor to Mitt Romney during his presidential campaign. She is also the former U.S. Treasurer under President Reagan. And she is also the author of Bay and Her Boys, Unexpected Lessons I Learned as a Single Mom. And we talked to her about her book on this program a while back. She joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Hi there, Joy. Good to be back with you.
Yeah, thank you so much. So let me ask you, how surprised or shocked were you on Tuesday night when Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan lost?
We were quite surprised. I was in close contact with the campaign as its senior advisor. The poll numbers that we were using, the model that we were using, and number of other people were using, I might add, showed that we were going to win this. It was going to be close, you know, but that we had a very strong chance of winning it. It looked like Florida had been very strongly ours for a couple weeks there. We really weren't worried that much about Florida, for instance. Virginia was tight, Ohio was tight, but we felt real movement in our direction, and so we're very hopeful. And so when you just quoted Paul Ryan, that is exactly. We were quite surprised that it was such an early night.
Yeah, well, does that mean your polls were just wrong?
It means not that the polls, but that the basis of them. You know, they assumed that about 2 or 3% more Democrats would vote than Republicans. And it turned out 6 or 7% more Democrats voted than Republicans. So when you make, you know, an assumption like that and then go out and do polls and assume that that's going to be the balance, it throws them off. So we felt that we got our people out to vote. We did a good job there. But that Barack Obama's campaign managed to get more people out than we expected. For instance, Joy, in Ohio, I was told that there was 180,000 more African Americans voted this time than 4 years ago. Well, never did we think that they would get a higher turnout than they did 4 years ago. You know what I mean? We thought that's when all the excitement and enthusiasm for the president was, and that this time that enthusiasm was in our camp. But because of their grassroots operation that they've run now for 4 years, 5 years, they kept it in place and they expanded it, and so they had very close contact with their voters and were able to get them to the polling places. They did a remarkable job.
So is it just, though, a matter of the ground game and that turnout, or what about the message that Mitt Romney was conveying?
Well, this is the message we were very pleased with in this regard. I've been in most presidential campaigns now, most every one of them since Reagan, and I have not seen this kind of enthusiasm and excitement with the voters for a candidate since Ronald Reagan. And that is because his message emerged, not initially, but it did emerge as one about big ideas and with a vision. And that's why you can get 30,000 people at one rally, whether it be in Denver or Fairfax or 11 p.m. in Manchester, New Hampshire, just huge crowds everywhere. That enthusiasm, I was at the one in Cincinnati, had over 30,000. People waited 4 and 5 hours just to get in the place. So where did that come from? That was a response to the ideas. He turned it into a movement, Romney did. And so people were very, very, felt very good that things could be better, you know, and they became extremely involved. So I think our campaign was exactly about those things that our party believes, and we put it forth. We came up short on the number of voters. They did better. But I must say that I am very proud of the Romney campaign. I'm proud to be part of it. We ran a very highbrow campaign in the sense of ideas. And I think that the same cannot be said of the president. However, he won, and I give him credit. The bottom line is winning the game, and he won.
Yeah. So it wasn't a matter of Republican voters staying home. They got out there, too, but President Obama got more Democratic voters out there.
He sure did. There's a couple of factors in politics which kind of was turned upside down in this election. Usually when the candidate who has the momentum and has the excitement and the enthusiasm, we call it, in the pollsters call it, the strategists call it, intensity. That they're guys that will definitely get out there and vote. And there'll be a drop-off of a candidate whose voters really aren't that motivated. And that's every poll showed that we had the intensity. Both the private polls and the public polls showed that we had the intensity factor. And so I think, could we have done a better job of getting more people out? I guess we're going to have to learn that trick, because we did a good job. I know we did a very good job, and we were happy with the numbers because we had them, like, targeted. How many we're going to need here, how many here. We worked it. We made the phone calls, knocked on enormous number of doors. But they have a model that's much more one-on-one, and that's what was impressive. Ours is, you know, make the door knocks, make the phone calls, and motivate people in that way. Theirs is almost a personal relationship. You know, they have people stay in the area for 4 or 5 years and work the neighborhoods, and that's very obviously extremely effective. They didn't have the intensity, but they had a ground game that really kept Barack Obama in the game. I'll be honest, they won it for him.
Well, what about that? President Obama won most of the demographic groups, like the Latino vote, other minority groups, the women, and Mitt Romney won the old white guy demographic.
Mitt Romney won whites, and he also won married women very, very strongly, I think by 6-7 points there. The key here is to remember that the two parties have their natural bases. And the natural base of the Democratic Party is the demographics are for minorities, because minorities tend to be more in need of social services. For instance, they have, on the average, they are more poor than the average American, if you like. They are more likely to use different programs within the government, and so they're more dependent on government. When you make an appeal to them, I think we'll cut taxes. If they're not paying taxes, that really doesn't impress them. That's not something that they're going to respond to. Or if you talk about the importance of a smaller government, a less intrusive government, a government that will have less taxes, then that's not a demographic that's going to respond. And so it is expected that the base of the Democratic Party will stay with them in a big election like this, and the base of the Republican Party will stay with us, and it's the swing voters that you're interested in. We did have a good run with the swing voters, but I think on Election Day that was not strong enough for us to carry the day.
Well, Senator Marco Rubio noting that Mitt Romney lost the Latino vote to Obama by 44%, said that he thinks the party needs to get its conservative message across to minorities and immigrants. Is he right, or do you see it differently?
Well, there's no question that our message, I believe, works, and Marco Rubio would agree, works for all Americans. You know, when you're talking about, you know, creating jobs, 12 million new jobs in the next 4 years, that's something that all Americans are going to benefit by. And so I agree that we have to work on reaching them with our message. But I don't believe that you throw what, you know, there are some people in our party that are suggesting now that we should change our positions, you know, change our message, in essence, abandon principles that we have felt are right for the country in order to gain votes. That's extremely foolhardy, because if you're not a party of principle, then why would anybody be interested in joining you? You know, I mean, you have to stand for something, Drew. You have to stand for something. And if you lose, fine. Then you come back 4 years later, and times are different, and things have changed, and people can say, hey, maybe that idea was the right idea. Ronald Reagan, for instance, lost in 76. He lost badly in 76, didn't even win the primary. But 4 years later, people thought, you know, those ideas he was talking about, I think they might work this time. Let's go back to that guy and give him a chance. And so that's, so I don't suggest that Marco Rubio is wrong in what he's saying. I was a single mom for 23 years, Joy, as you know. I think I would like to reach those single moms out there. I think they belong in our party. And so how do you do that? And I think that's a very good exercise for Republicans to have. Do we have a message for single moms? I don't think we do. I'm one that says, no, we don't have a good message for single moms. How about single women? What, you know, where is it that we've lost them? Why is it that they are not with us? And if it's because we're pro-life, well, we can't change that. So if that's the most important issue for you, there's one party that's pro-life and there's one party that's pro-choice. So clearly, if that's the single most important issue, you should be a Democrat because they represent you. But if there's other issues that are important to you, like smaller government and pro-growth economic policies, less debt, you know, or responsible government, then our party has something to offer. You know what I mean? So that's where I think we stand right now. There's a lot of things we have to do. I think we have to learn some lessons, but I don't think the lesson is to abandon those things in which we believe firmly.
We are talking with Bea Buchanan. She served as a senior advisor to Mitt Romney during his presidential campaign. We're talking about the GOP soul searching that's going on. Lots of commentators are talking about whether the GOP needs to change to reach out to more demographic groups, what the GOP should do to win over voters again. We welcome your thoughts on this or your questions for Bea Buchanan, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up, Kathleen Dunn is with you after 9 o'clock. On Monday, State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tony Evers released a proposal that his office said would increase school aid. He also seeks to set a state funding level for districts of $3,000 per pupil. Coming up after 9, Kathleen and her guest will talk about the details of the superintendent's plan and what education policies we might see passed in the coming year. That's Kathleen Dunn after 9 o'clock. Right now we are talking with Bea Buchanan, who is a political strategist, and she served as senior advisor to Mitt Romney during his presidential campaign. We're taking a look at why Mitt Romney lost to President Obama last week and whether or not Republicans need to change in any way to win over more voters. And we have many callers, so let me take our first caller, Sheree in Waupun. Hi, Sheree.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Mr. Cannon.
As
an African-American and black voter, I have to admit that it's a little disheartening to look at the Republican Party. And it was, I think, the loss really brought some things into perspective for the Republican Party. However, as much as we know that Lincoln was a Republican and he did the Emancipation Proclamation, we know about civil rights and the Southern Democrats versus, you know, the Northern Democrats. But the fact of the matter is, we aren't constantly demonized in any other form other than Fox, which happens to be the right wing, you know, news organization that they tend to watch. And so when we hear things like, oh, the minorities are the reason they won, and now we should do outreach, quite frankly, I feel used. I would feel used to actually vote for the Republican at this point, simply because I've heard dog whistles this entire election season. And now, since they lost and they realize, wow, people don't like that, we should probably start talking to them. We've been wanting to talk to them for months. There are things that are important, like foster care systems, like the abortion issue that we talked about. There's so many issues that actually have not really much to do with any social programs, like Ms. Buchanan mentioned earlier, that need attention. And yet we're now getting we're talking about having our votes courted when this whole time nobody paid attention to us and nobody wants to say anything other than negative things.
Yeah,
and now all of a sudden, you know, it's very disingenuous. I just don't like that.
And Babe Buchanan, your thoughts on that?
Well, I would differ with the presumption that we have not been interested in minority votes up to this point. I think, you know, our whole message was for all Americans. We as a party tend not to go, here's this for the Hispanics, this is for the blacks, this is for women. That is something that Democrats are extraordinarily effective at. They've done it for years. And that's how Barack Obama pulled his coalition together. He had his ads were very, very, and his ground game were very specific. And it was a campaign that reached out to various groups to be pulled together on Election Day. That is not what we've done. However, I do agree with the caller on this point. And that is the idea that politicians would pander, and I don't care if they're Democrats or Republicans, to one group over another just for their vote. I mean, if it's not something you believe, how long are you going to be able to follow through with the promises? If you just want it for, why would anyone want to vote for a party or candidate who offers policies or ideas simply for political expediency? I mean, it has to come from the heart. It has to come from, this is what I think is good for our nation. This is what I think is good for our communities. And this is what's good for Americans. And then you can run on it because it's a cause. It's something more important than you or your political future. And you may win, you may lose, but at least it's something you believe in, and people will feel that. So I think the caller makes an excellent point that nobody wants to be just to be used, you know, hey, I'll promise you this, I'll talk to you, I'll go to your events in the hopes of getting your vote. I would think I would go to your events simply to get to know you and get to know what your issues are and why we are failing to address them and what could we do that would work towards your goals in that we both have for improved communities, if you like, but would not give up our principles. And you may say, hey, nope, can't do it because we don't agree with you on this principle. Well, then we have a basic disagreement, and that's what the country's one of the strengths of the country is that we can disagree and still enjoy one another's company and still have respect for one another. We don't have to agree with everyone in order to get along and to have respect and to do battle and joy, as you probably know in this game. I have great, great friends who I agree with on some issues, and we work hard to get to promote those issues. And then the next week, I'm in total disagreement with them. I don't agree with them for a minute, you know, and some of them are called Republicans that I'm arguing with. But so I think that's key. Is pandering is not the direction I would like to see our party go. And I don't think we could ever compete with the Democrats on that issue anyhow.
Well, tell me what you think of Bill O'Reilly's comment on election night when he said the white establishment is now the minority. The voters, many of them, feel this economic system is stacked against them and they want stuff. You're going to see a tremendous Hispanic vote for President Obama, overwhelming black vote for President Obama, and women will probably break President Obama's way. People feel that they are entitled to things, and which candidate between the two is going to give them things. So do you think that these voters voted for President Obama because they felt entitled to the government to give them things?
I think that is a that's one way to put it. It's not the way I would put it, but this is the bottom line. Take women, for instance, single women, single moms, women in particular. We tend to go for, we are not risk takers. You know, we are much more interested in security. And when times are tough out there, and we're just barely making it, we're not going to vote for change. We're going to want, you say that it's going to be better, but I can't risk it being better. I can't risk any change because I don't know that I'm going to make it as it is. And I think I've got it so I can just make it to next month or I can just make it to next year. I'll get through with the way it is, but I can't risk changing it because I might not be able to make it. And so that is basically then when you're looking at minorities, for instance, there is no question that if you look at the basic statistics, they are poorer than average. They pay less taxes than average. They use more government services. They benefit from affirmative action. They're less likely to have health insurance. And so the Democratic message is bigger government. It's affirmative action. It's, you know, racial quotas. It's you know, making certain that those government services are there. We're not going to cut those. So, of course, that would be a natural response because they're going to be voting for what will keep them secure in their lives or give them a chance, you know, give them that base so that they can hopefully, and they're hard workers, don't get me wrong, they're hard workers. It doesn't mean they're not hard workers if you're taking food stamps. It means that you're working hard, but you're not making it. And so you don't want somebody to cut your food stamps, because then what am I going to do? And so that is where the division is today, Joy. And so you can understand why people who are dependent on government services are going to vote for a Democratic message, which is bigger government, and why they're less likely to respond to a message of smaller government and less taxes, because they don't pay that much in taxes already, so that's not going to, you know, get them motivated. And they certainly don't want smaller government because they see that as cutting the programs, likely may cut programs that they are dependent on today.
I wanted to ask you, Babe Buchanan, your reaction to the bipartisan effort to pass comprehensive immigration reform, including a pathway to citizenship for immigrants in this country illegally right now. It apparently has gained momentum in part because of Republicans wanting to reach out to Latinos.
Yes, I have always been opposed to it. I'm opposed to amnesty. Because I think it is not in the best interest of the nation. I think amnesty will do, will just open the gates to have more illegals in our country. 15 years from now, we'll be addressing the same problem. So I think there's a whole lot of things have to be done even before you could even consider amnesty, unless you want this third wave of illegal immigration in the country. Illegal immigration is very costly, so to the nation with respect to our services, etc. It runs up your bills in the states, and this is a time when we're all in terrible economic problems trying to balance budgets, so we don't need to encourage more. So I'm always been opposed and be glad to have that debate any day of the week. Now, this is what makes no sense to me is to do it, you know, either you believe amnesty and comprehensive immigration reform is the way to go, or you don't. You know, is it in the best interest of the nation, or is it not? If you think it is, then of course you're going to support it. If you think it's not, why would you support it so that it will help you politically? Why would you do something that's not in the interest of the nation because it may help your party? That doesn't make sense to me. Secondly, they get the impression that people get the impression that there's Republicans, you know, inside the bodies of immigrants, that they are, you know, given amnesty, they're all of a sudden the legal and illegal immigrants are going to suddenly become Republican voters. They are not. They're not voting on that particular issue. They may be upset with our party because we haven't embraced amnesty to the extent that the Democrats have. But that's, as I said before, they are minorities. Minorities are poorer. They're more dependent on government. They're more in need of those services while they're trying to get themselves on their feet. And let me repeat, they are very hard workers. Immigrants are very hard workers. We know that. But it doesn't mean that they're suddenly Republicans. They benefit from affirmative action. These are the policies that the Democrats offer: greater services, greater social services, Obamacare, insurance, affirmative action. These are not the policies of the Republican Party. So there is no reason to pander, taking this huge step of embracing a policy that we don't think is in America's best interest simply to win votes, especially when it won't win you the votes. Then it's really dumb.
Let me take another caller, John in Burlington, Vermont. Well, hello, John.
Hi, Joy. Hi, Bay. Thanks for taking my call. I'm really intrigued by the topic of your show. As a 27-year-old married gay man, I really do hope that there is some serious soul searching in the Republican Party on LGBT issues. Bay, you're almost three generations removed from me. I just want to tell you, the overwhelming majority of my generation, including young conservatives, believe that my marriage deserves equal rights. And the GOP, you know, I think in the generations that are in leadership positions in the GOP right now are in serious denial about these issues. But, you know, that their anti-LGBT viewpoints have lost out. And the evolution on those issues are necessary in order to remain relevant. And I'd like to actually ask you, Bay, because you went even further as a Mitt Romney campaign surrogate. You made the remark that, as a candidate, Mitt Romney believed that it should be up to individual states to decide whether or not same-sex couples should be able to adopt children or see each other when one is sick or dying in the hospital. That's just inhumane, and that's so wildly out of step with the views of the vast majority of Americans. And, you know, a majority of Americans now support marriage equality. So I really, really hope that the GOP will kind of wake up and snap out of its homophobic bigotry and modify its views to be inclusive of all Americans, regardless of sexual orientation.
Is that going to happen, Babe Buchanan?
No, that, again, on the social issues, our party is a conservative traditional party, and we believe very firmly in marriage as a union between a man and a woman. We believe in the life, the right to life of the unborn. These are issues that that we hold very dear. You know, these are principles we hold very dear, and it's not bigotry to disagree. It is, and it certainly doesn't indicate a lack of respect because we disagree with others' direction. I know in there was many gay people that supported Mitt Romney. And I was part of an event where they were coming together to raise money for Mitt Romney because we agreed so wholeheartedly on his economic policies. And that was the number one issue for both of us while we were supporting Mitt Romney. And so I had no difficulties working with them and being delighted to stand with them in our efforts to see Mitt Romney elected. But it doesn't mean that a week later, if the issue had been come forward on gay marriage, that we would have been in disagreement. But it wouldn't mean that I would in any way think less of them. I'd say, okay, we're parting our ways on this one, and we'll, you know, you may win. They certainly won over there in Maryland. I would have opposed that proposition. But that's where I think it is healthy for the nation to have these debates, Joy. It is healthy for people to feel they are well represented in this country by their leaders.
And not that we're always going to win, our side or your side, they're always going to win, but that we have people who are willing to stand up and fight for those things which we think are very, very important. And marriage is one of them. And we're not going to back down just because the young people, and he's right, the young people overwhelmingly support right of gays to marry. So maybe we'll lose in the long run, but it doesn't mean that we should just fall over and say, okay, maybe we can win some young votes by this. You know, yeah. This doesn't make sense.
So you're not concerned, Babe Buchanan, that as time goes on, maybe even within a couple of election cycles, that the Republican voter is going to be pushed out. I mean, the young people think differently. They're going to vote Democratic. The growing immigrant population, minority population is going to be voting Democratic. Aren't you afraid if the GOP doesn't move to the center or change in any way that the GOP will go out of existence?
Joy, you know how many times I've heard in my good Democrat friends, Donna Brazile and James Carville and that crowd have heard, it's the end of your party. I mean, I go back to the Nixon days, after McGovern's defeat, you know, it's the end of the Democratic Party. And a few years later, you had Watergate, and everybody goes, it's the end of the Republican Party. And this goes on, you know. I mean, people have been wiped out in elections, Goldwater election, for instance, and just been wiped out and just thinking it's all over, and 4-8 years later, there you are in power. So it's cyclical, and also it's a lot of it depends on what's happening out there. Young people, they're going to get jobs one day, and they're going to see this outrageous taxes, and they're going to try to buy a house, and they're going to see that it's nearly impossible, and they're going to say, "What the heck? I'm working my head off. I can't get ahead." And they're going to think, "Hey, you know, the Republicans have a good point. You know, it should be smaller government. There should be less taxes. And we're going to be able to attract them on our principles." But I don't, you know, and as for take abortion, there's a very sensitive issue out there. And now, because we have hung tough, because we have worked in, mostly in the states, and worked this issue very, very hard and never backed down and had been real champions of the unborn, the majority of Americans are pro-life now. They believe in exceptions for rape and incest. And other than that, they're overwhelming. I mean, when I say overwhelming, it's over 50%. And the pro-choice abortion on demand is much less, fewer Americans than they used to be. So you know, these battles are not won and lost in an election or two. They're bigger than that. And if we do, you know, if the states approve gay marriage, then there will be a battle to define marriage as on the Constitution, a constitutional amendment. I don't know that we can pass that, but that's where it'll go, and people will continue to fight for those things which they believe.
Yeah, since you brought up the abortion issue, let me play for you Senate candidate, Missouri Republican Senate candidate Todd Akin's very controversial comments that were repeated in some other Senate races as well.
If it's a legitimate rape, the female body has ways to try to shut that whole thing down. But let's assume that maybe that didn't work or something. You know, I think there should be some punishment, but the punishment ought to be on the rapist and not attacking the child.
So how much did comments like that hurt, especially Republican Senate candidates who saw some losses because of what many viewed as an extreme position on this?
Joy, I do believe we lost two Senate races because of remarks, but the remarks were about rape. It came as a result of the discussion about abortion, but both those candidates were well known as pro-lifers before, but they made the foolish remarks concerning rape, and they were doing very, very well, and they were expected to win. So the issue wasn't pro-life so much as an insensitivity on the issue of rape, and I don't know why they went there. I've been a pro-lifer for my whole life and been an activist for the last 30 years. And I don't know why they would have, you know, gotten confused on what exactly rape is and the tragedy of it and the horror of it. But they apologized immediately. They, you know, it was just, for whatever reason they made the remarks, they apologized. And they paid the price. And the reason they paid the price is because it was nationalized.
I don't believe they would have paid that price if it was not in a presidential election year where the president's campaign was using some ridiculous arguments with women and looking for every possible way to show that Republican Party was an anti-women party. And so it was nationalized, and then the National Party, the Republicans, abandoned the candidates and said, my gosh, we have to walk away from this. And so it just became too big of an issue in those states for those guys to be able to pull it off after that. But the bottom line is that being pro-life does not hurt you in the electorate anymore. When you look at, and this has been true for years, when you look at people who want to vote on life, that's the most important issue, and ones who want to vote for choice, and that's the most important issue, pro-lifers will beat you by a number of points. You know, there's just more people who vote for life than there are who vote for choice.
We need to take a short pause, and we will continue talking with Bea Buchanan, political strategist. She served as a senior advisor to Mitt Romney during his presidential campaign. She was the former U.S. Treasurer under President Reagan, and she is the author of Bea and Her Boys, Unexpected Lessons I Learned as a Single Mom. We're talking about whether the GOP needs to do anything differently to win elections. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. There are a number of Republicans and different pundits who are saying that the Republicans need to reach out to different demographic groups, try to do a better job courting Hispanics or young women or other minority groups. And we're getting Bea Buchanan's take on all of that and welcoming yours. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up tomorrow at this time, we are going to talk about how our culinary tools like forks and knives and kitchen tricks came to be when we talk with the author of Consider the Fork tomorrow during this time. Right now we're talking about some of the GOP soul searching that is going on following Mitt Romney's loss to President Obama last week with Bea Buchanan. And our next caller is Pat in Brookfield. Hello, Pat.
Hey, guys. I've always said, and I'm a 34-year-old conservative. I worked hard for both Scott Walker and Mitt Romney here in Wisconsin. And, you know, I've always argued that it's tough articulating Republican position. And I agree with you to an extent, Bea, that we don't want to change our principles. And frankly, if the argument of limited government, personal responsibility, lower taxes, fiscal conservatism, if that's not going to sell anymore, we're in trouble. However, I will also tell you as a 34-year-old, the issue of gay marriage is huge. And, you know, I heard your explanation, but I'm fine with it. I don't think it should be that big of a deal if two people want to get married, whatever gender they are. It's not that big of a deal. I am strongly pro-life, and I think one of the things we need to do is to send some type of memo, because as we know, the media's favorite pastime, reporters are to try and find a Republican or conservative, specifically male, ask them a million questions about abortion, and somehow get rape in there, and then they say something stupid, and then it knocks Mitt Romney off message for 2 weeks, and the poll numbers go down. Somehow, we need to get them to have a straight-up answer. Everybody's against rape. We know everybody's against rape. But for some reason, in trying to explain their position, they get tongue-tied and they say something stupid.
Yeah. Thanks, Pat. Since we addressed kind of those topics already, what you're saying, don't change Republican Party, don't change what you believe in except gay marriage?
I am correct. I am saying we need to moderate. We need to work hard for these Latino votes. We need to go into these communities and not let groups like Voices de la Frontera, which is an extreme left-wing group, dominate the debate. In addition, and I don't know how we fix this problem, but when liberal ideology is disseminated from everything from our public education system to pop culture, late-night comedy, mainstream media, it's tough to get our message through without constantly getting sidetracked or getting distorted. And I don't know how we get those groups to like us more. It might not be possible, but it is tougher being a Republican. It's tougher to stay on message. It's tougher to articulate our position because they are less popular. So I don't really know what you can do about it, but I do agree we can't become Democrat light. We can't be the second liberal party in this country because we don't need another liberal party.
Thank you very much, Pat. Because we have so many callers in such a limited time, Babe Buchanan, specifically on his point that there are more liberal ideas in pop culture and the media and that it's easier for Dems to get their message across than conservatives.
There's no question. And because they are able to define us, Joy. And that's what happened in this campaign. Barack Obama defined Mitt Romney, defined Republican Party. They just kept, and of course the media is right there to take every opportunity to reinforce that message. And so while we're talking big issues, they're talking about, well, you don't like women and you don't like them and you don't like, and you're like, what are you talking about? So it throws you off your game. The caller is absolutely correct. But the bottom line is times are going to change. You know, this was a very close election. 350,000 votes in four or five states would have turned the thing around. That's not a lot when you think of the tens of millions that voted. So this is a close election, and we're going to see what happens in the next 4 years. I hope there's a huge recovery. I don't care what it means 4 years from now. I just hope we can get Americans back to work. But, you know, when Americans start working and building again, they're going to recognize that these boatloads of regulations are not in their best interest, and they're going to start moving to a Republican, get this government off our backs. When people start to be able to get out of that safety net and climb up the ladder and start taking care of themselves and their families, then they are going to become more and more Republican oriented. But right now, the times are very tough for millions and millions, and they're dependent on government. And unless that turns around, we're going to have a long haul here.
Jeannie in Elkhorn is with us. Hello, Jeannie.
Yes, good morning. You know, I appreciate my right to speak on the radio today, and I really feel like that would have been threatened by the Republicans gaining control. They would have cut all these fundings, and I would have lost you, my ability to connect with you. I appreciate that very much. I'm just going to kind of speak to the exclusionary efforts that the Republican Party have really seemed to put into place, and I've been seeing people feel threatened by some of their beliefs. We were talking about women's reproductive rights, the gender equality, the equal pay rights, retirement rights, but I'm kind of hoping to speak to voting rights today. In Wisconsin, we had seen in our kind of Republican takeover of our state legislature, I think we saw in the down on the front, you know, that your voter ID laws that might have made you not be able to have a voice in your government, limiting the number of hours in some of the states for this election for early voting, number of machines, inequality of that, where it really puts people at pressure to wait in long lines, purging voter lists, billboards of intimidation. I really feel like there was a really effort on the part of the Republican Party to suppress a vote, and I think it backfired. People turned out and said, we're not having it.
Yeah, Babe Buchanan.
You know, the caller had a lot to say there, but
yeah, it's specifically on the voter
suppressing. Voter ID law is one. It'll be a national law. It won't be a national. It'll be a state by state. You're going to see more and more of them because we do want the integrity of our system protected. You know, this is really basic to democracy, to make certain the only people voting are those who have a right to vote, and the ID is critical. Many states already have it. You have provisional ballots if people are elderly and aren't able to get the kind of ID that might be required otherwise. And so you can work with those. But when you see districts, one polling area after another in Ohio and Pennsylvania where there's not one vote for Mitt Romney, not one, I mean, that doesn't happen, when communists ruled. You always had a few the other way, you know. So clearly there's something wrong. Now, did that change the election? It did not. But you want to make certain that it's if all elections are fair and everybody who has a right to vote has an opportunity to vote, and that's critical.
Just
I do very much support ID, voter ID.
Yeah, very briefly, I don't understand. So some Republicans suspect what happened that caused Mitt Romney to not get a single vote in Ohio wards.
Well, and in Philly, I mean, there's 59 wards in Philly. We didn't get one vote. Well, that
the likelihood of that actually of happening is zero. So there's some kind of fraud going on, voter fraud. I hope it's properly investigated. I hope who's ever perpetrated is prosecuted, that it's very widely in the nation is very widely informed of that, so it would discourage others from attempting it, because I don't think you should ever have voter fraud. It should never be allowed or permitted. I think it should be aggressively prosecuted.
Yeah. You know, we had in Wisconsin, one of our state senators is raising some eyebrows this morning with an interview that she gave this week saying that voter ID absolutely would have made a difference in the outcome of the election in Wisconsin. State Senator Alberta Darling said that was suggesting that voter fraud helped President Obama win the state. A lot of Democrats are saying, you know, there's zero evidence of that. And, you know, I think he won by 200,000 votes.
I think that's highly unlikely that it would affect it. I don't know the specifics. I don't know that it happened or if there's any evidence of it of happening. But that's not a position that we're taking.
Yeah, let's. Sure. Denny in Wapaka is with us next. Hello, Denny.
Yeah, my question is this. I voted Republican and Democrat in my life, and I voted for several Republicans on the premise that they would have watch our budget. But the real fact is, between Ronald Reagan, Bush 1 and Bush 2, they created $7.5 trillion of debt. And when I, of the $10 trillion that existed in 2008, and when I asked my economic friends, of which I have many, how much of the debt created from 2008 to now was already in the pipeline because of debt that was already occurring in the fall in the economy, they go anywhere 70-80%. So the premise of your argument is that if I vote Republican again, I'm going to be in for smaller government and less taxes, when in effect the vice presidential candidate, who I like in some ways, voted for 90% of the spending increases under the Bush administration, and his budget doesn't pencil out.
Yeah, quick response to that, Baby Cannon.
I agree that Republicans, you know, especially Bush, they were irresponsible, ran up deficits of $450 billion a year in those last couple of years of the Bush administration. So I agree, and one of the things I believe that the Bush administration was and Republicans were rejected in 08 is because of that, and I think legitimately so. But, you know, one way or the other, you look at Obama, and every single year it's $1 trillion we've added to the deficit, $1 trillion every single year. There's been no budget whatsoever that he's been able to even get Democrats to vote for in the last 3 years. So it's an irresponsibility that's been happening in the last 4 years, and as a result, our debt is now $15 trillion, and we're looking at $20 trillion if this president doesn't decide that maybe, you know, he has to do the tough, you know, doing some heavy lifting here and make some tough decisions in order to make America remain fiscally responsible nation.
Quickly, should Republicans compromise along with President Obama, of course, when it comes to this grand bargain to avoid the, you know, the fiscal cliff?
No question. We have to resolve it. Now, I think there's ways that both can do it and save face, if you like. You know, Republicans don't want to raise taxes, but there's a lot of deductions that can be limited for certain, you know, or eliminated or reduced or limited in some way. And so, in essence, you will increase your tax base, but you don't raise taxes. If that's the principle which they stand, and I believe it is, and I think it's a very honorable thing to try to make a tax code a little more fair. So there's no problem there. But the Democrats, if they say, no, you have to break your principle, you know, if they want to say that, I think we're going to have some problems here. Likewise, the Democrats are going to have to cut and reform entitlement, something they don't want to do, but they're going to have to if you want to be a responsible nation.
In our final minute, do you think, for example, the U.S. Senate could go Republican in 2014?
It will be tough. But I think that's one of the things Republicans have to look at. You know, the premise of your show is, what do we do next? And I think we continue to build our governors, and we continue to look for really good, solid, experienced individuals to run for the U.S. Senate. I think the people will respond to them. I think we got some real talent out there now. We've picked up a couple. We got Ted Cruz coming into the Senate, I think, is the kind of person we need more of.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Babe Buchanan is a senior advisor to Mitt Romney during his presidential campaign. She was also former treasurer under Ronald Reagan. author of Bay and Her Boys, Unexpected Lessons I Learned as a Single Mom. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing and directing this program. Thanks to Amanda Magnus for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.